A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony McGinley with us on the line. Tony, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again this week.
And a very good morning to you, Jerry.
Now, we're going to start with a query that's come in here, Tony. Jerry and Tony, a very dear friend of mine of over 50 years, always there for anyone lucky enough to know her, a sound and caring voice of reason. She's recently confided in me that she's been diagnosed with a chronic progressive disorder, Parkinson's. She hasn't told her family or anyone in her county. She's asked me if she is wrong not telling her family. This is worrying her. I feel she will tell them when she is ready. Any advice at all as to how I might support her?
Well, there's no right and wrong in these sort of situations, but from my experience, communicating with other people is a very human action. And I think 90% of what we do, 90% of what we think, 90% of our actions every day are linked to our ability to communicate. And also the other thing about communication is that support depends upon communication. And if I were that friend of that lady, I would certainly be gently suggesting that she start to communicate with people, because the lack of communication is what causes a heck of a lot of human suffering, really. In fact, it is probably the single largest element in human suffering is the lack of human communication. So, I would absolutely encourage, in a gentle, nice way, encourage this person to begin to tell people and communicate, because otherwise the experience will be much, much worse.
Yeah, and it's about, I suppose, the passage of time there. On the one hand, you can understand she doesn't want to worry them. She's very worried. She's trying to deal with it herself first. But on the other side, if you leave it go on too long, then there might be a feeling of, you know, from the other side, why didn't you tell us before this? We could have helped you, and an upset that could be created by that.
A very good point you made there, Jerry. Yes, and initially when somebody gets that sort of bad news or whatever, there is a shutdown. We all tend to do it to some extent. And the more you do it, the longer it tends to go on. But yeah, I think from the sounds of it, what you said there, Jerry, is very right. She will come around and start telling people pretty soon. And I think that is the best thing. As I said, keeping that level, the high level of human communication with everybody around you is very important. As I say, when people cut away from that sort of behaviour, their life becomes a lot more difficult.
Yeah, it certainly does. But I guess in the meantime, the important thing, Tony, is that this person is, you know, ready to support the person and give her the support. If she hasn't told her family that, then you can be the person that she can talk to about things. That's a good
Absolutely,
role to play.
Yeah. Keep that communication open and offer every now and again, you know, is there anything I can do? That is ultimately what human nature is about, because what's wrong with the planet at the moment is the complete opposite of that, where people are just going out to get whatever they want and screw the rest of humanity. Yeah. And until such time as we, as I say, as a human race begin to step away from that behaviour, we need to be very, very careful about communication.
Yeah. Okay, Tony, another query into us here. The last few years have been quite difficult for me, and I've become both mentally and physically drained. The worst part of all of what I've gone through is that much of the time I feel as there is nothing to look forward to in life. I read a fair bit and I want to do something to help myself out of this dark place and be able to look forward to a brighter road ahead. And it'd be good to hear some suggestions.
Not unlike what we already were talking about. Very often when people go through a series of depressing, because they are depressing experiences, there is that tendency to cut off communication. And again, I think, you know, how we feel, how we focus, depends upon our general focus on life, our set of beliefs, our interests, our actions. And if we are, as I say, focused in the correct way, if we are helpful to other people, if we are communicative, if we have lots of interests and, you know, some sort of things that take up our time in a pleasant way. Hobbies, gardening, art, music, whatever it is. They're all the things that build into how we feel generally as a person. Now, sometimes when people get a bit of bad news, as we already mentioned, they tend to close off temporarily. But if somebody allows themselves to sink into that sort of level where they're beginning to, as they're more and more focused inward rather than outward, it leads to depression, number one, and it also leads to them feeling very miserable about their future and about life and about everything. So, yeah, I mean, what I would say here is it's very, very important to keep the focus, keep, you know, have your belief systems, have your interests, have your actions, and make contact. Because I think ultimately what makes life livable is human contact. And unfortunately, in my lifetime, I've seen a huge change in the way people communicate. And it's not all bad, of course, not all bad by any means, but there is a huge tendency to be more private, more inward, and it's not a good way for the human race to go. So I would say to this person, yeah, the important thing is, you know, look at how you believe, look at how you behave, look at your interests, and look at the people you communicate with on a daily basis, because that is the ultimate, as it were, focus. And it is, I mean, I know I preach this a bit a lot and overdo it maybe at times, but it is so important to the well-being of human beings, our sense of belief, focus, interests, actions, and communication. And I couldn't emphasize that enough, Jerry.
It's an important point, all right, to make and release. Okay, Tony, we'll talk a bit more about that. We have other queries to get to as well. We'll get to those after we take these.
A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony, we have another query in here from a listener who says, we have three grown children, all of whom have left home. They are well settled with their own families. We're not badly off, but we do have to be careful with our money. My issue is about giving of gifts of money for all the birthdays of children, partners, grandchildren, etc. I think despite money being tight, that we should send a cash gift for each birthday. It looks to me as if it's appreciated, but I don't know if it's time to stop sending gifts to all the grown-ups.
Right, that brings up a very important point, which is, what are gifts? What are presents? What is the reason for giving presents? And if a present is expected, is it really a present? So I have come to a tone in that area, really, because I think if, you know, every year there's 10 whatever gifts of money being given to different people, that becomes literally expected by them. Now, some people won't expect it in any real way, but children certainly will begin to, you know, expect more money next time round. And I think, personally, because, I mean, this is a very personal sort of thing, the giving of gifts should basically be not expected by the person.
You're creating this expectation, and if it isn't delivered, then there's disappointment and maybe even anger. So you're creating this constant flow of money out, and that may not be really fully appreciated because it becomes so common.
In a lot of cases, it becomes the opposite of appreciated, because if you're not giving as much or whatever the next time around, it's kind of, oh, geez, that old one is getting very mean now. And I'm not blaming anybody, because, I mean, we all fall into that trap. But I think when giving a gift, it's better to look for some little object, something unusual or something that links to the individual, or, you know, some little thing like that is more of a gift than, you know, 50 euros or whatever they're giving. And to, as I say, to let it slip into a sort of, you know, a certain amount. It's a sort of, they could order the bank to send out checks to each one of these people each year at these times. And, you know, they will go on forevermore as long as the money lasted. But that is not what gift giving and presents are all about. They are about something that gives us a joyful feeling, that triggers a sense of belonging, that gives us, you know, that sense of satisfaction which is not got easily in life. And I think, you know, have a think about, you know, what you're doing. And if you are falling into that thing where you could literally order the bank to send out these monies on a regular basis and forget about it, you could be dead and buried and they'd be still getting those gifts. Is that what gifts and presents are about? Is that what that feeling of, you know, appreciation is about? And if it were me, I would be more focused on getting something that would be unique to the individual, whether that's some little art object, this little ring, or whatever that links you to the person you're giving. Because otherwise, it's just a payment. And it becomes like, you know, the pension or whatever from the government. You're getting your money every week from the government. Do we think of it as a gift? Most people don't. So that's how I would activate my life with regard to giving of gifts. So, I mean, you have to think about it. Everybody's different, but yeah. That's the way I would think about it.
Okay. All right. Tony, listen, brilliant stuff as always. Thanks very much for talking to us about those things this week. We'll talk to you next week on A Problem Shared.